So this is episode number 5, I think, of the Arcade and Vending Podcast.
Guys, what's up?
What is going on?
We have obviously Quick Play here. I'm sure everyone knows who that is.
What's up? What's up?
We are live from the Elvis Suite.
The Elvis Suite
at the Westgate Hotel.
That fancy.
Yeah. We're fancy. We're in his gym. Elvis worked out right here, and here we are filming an arcade podcast. Weird how the world works. But yeah, I mean, we'll start it out. How did you guys get everything started with your business?
So we started with bulk vending machines.
Candy machines, yeah.
Candy machines, a lot of candymachines.com machines.
Okay.
So then we expanded into full line machines, snack and soda, obviously, which we found out weren't really...
Not for us.
Not really for us.
Yeah.
You know, so we had quite a few out. And then we expanded. We got our first claw machine. It was actually a 31-inch. This was back before candymachines.com had all of their, you know, little minis for sale and stuff.
Minis weren't a thing.
Minis weren't even a thing yet.
Yeah.
So we started with our 31-inch claw machine. The profit margin difference on these claw machines versus all the snack and soda machines was very...
Profitable.
That's a great word that we're looking for. Because, you know, with vending machines, you're always going to get something vended for you, like snack and sodas. You're always going to get a soda or a snack vended. Whereas with claw machines, if I'm terrible at a claw machine, for instance, I very well may not win. So you have a lot of people playing these claw machines. They may or may not win, and the profit margins are a lot higher. Not only that, but there's no expiration dates.
You got to worry about people buying the things from your vending machine.
Exactly.
And that kind of scared us off of them.
Exactly. There's no profit expiration on these machines.
Right.
So I can have a bag of plush that's 3, 4, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same thing as if I was putting it in the same year, whereas with soda and snack, it's going to expire within a month's matter of time. So we didn't really like that aspect of like, oh, you got to sell this on this specific date or you're not going to be good. You know
what I
mean?
No time crunch.
Exactly. There's no time crunch. So with plush, it's been a lot easier just to sell things out of claw machines with not having to worry about that. You don't have to carry in all that load of all these snack and sodas. So
right. That's
really what we prefer.
Yeah, exactly. And when you talk about this, you don't have to vend out items, obviously. It's 1 in 15, 1 in 30. I mean, what is your guys' average payout, you think, on all your machines?
I would say 1 in 15.
Okay.
And,
but it can vary.
It can vary because we have several claw machines that are at 50 cents. And I know a lot of you guys probably watching this are at $1 a play.
Yeah.
You know, and at $1 a play, you can lower that average. But we live in a very small town, a very conservative.
A very modest
conservative town who don't necessarily want to put in $1 a play. So at 50 cents a play, you know, 1 in 15 tends to work for us because, you know, you get the plush at $2, $3. You're at least doubling your money, just like you would on full-line machines. But we do have several that now, because prices are rising, as I'm sure a lot of you guys watching this know, prices are rising on snack and sodas and plush altogether. So going up to $1 a play, we have had to go up to about still $1, you know, about 1 in 15 chance of winning, you know, because you want to make your money back. You want to at least double your money, but if you can triple or quadruple your money, great, because you can't do that really on full-line machines. With a lot of the stuff you put in full-line machines, you're going to a lot of times just double your money because it's a guaranteed vend.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting something every time you put in money in the machine. You are getting something no matter what. Whereas with claw machines, it's hit or miss. You know, you very well may not get something out of the claw machine.
Yeah.
So the profit margins are a lot higher. You don't have to lug in all these products that very well may or may not expire.
And may I add, it's also wicked fun. You get to have all these toys and claw machines. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time.
It is.
Licensed plush and all that. I mean, where do you guys get all your plush?
So a lot of it we get from a lot of different sources. We get a lot of it from candymachines.com, of course, who we love. We get a lot of it from A&A Global, aaglobal.com. That's aaglobal.com.
Let them know.
Affiliate code quick plate.
No. Right. No affiliate codes here. We get a lot of it from AZ Amusements. We get a lot of it from All Star Vending. We are actually here in Vegas right now, believe it or not, at the vending convention. And, you know, you got All Star Vending. There's a lot of different guys here who are selling plush, so...
Good guys.
Several different sources of plush, but that's another great thing about the getting sourcing plush compared to the full line. There's so many more options.
It's true.
You know, you can get all these different sources of plush for very affordable versus, you know, having to have a Costco, having to have a local Sam's Club.
And that's if you're lucky, too. I mean, there's also the facts of being able to find a distributor and being accepted into that distributor, and you have to spend an X amount every month in order to be a member of that distributor. So
exactly,
it can be kind of hard, especially when you're really trying to expand vending, because I don't know about you guys, but I've really noticed that Sam's Club, I don't know about Costco. We don't have one in our area, but Sam's Club is really going away from vendor.
They're not vendor friendly anymore.
They're really not. And it's more for families that want to buy in bulk.
Exactly.
And it's not meant for reselling. Exactly. And it gets hard. It gets really hard.
It does. So, you know, you have a lot of guys out there who are very claw machine oriented. They sell you claw machine plush that are
right.
Very fair price compared to what you could possibly make on those claw machines on the play. So that's why we love claw machines. And again, there's no expiration dates. You don't have to walk in with all these tins of snacks and sodas.
Yeah, the way the soda.
You can walk
you
in.
Gotta get a dolly. And,
exactly. Yeah. You can just walk in like Santa Claus with a bag of plush on your back, and it's so much easier. It is so much easier. So
well, to add on to that, when you're talking about it's fun. It is a lot more fun. And
it is.
When you're, you know, you go into your vending machine, you're just rearranging the product. Oh, does Cheetos work better than Lay's? Whatever. When you go into these places, like, for example, we doubled our sales with Mario boxes. That was awesome. That was really fun to figure out. We put prizes inside of the mystery boxes. We figured all that out. That was fun to me. I like all our Mario plush. And then you just go back to Lay's chips. It's just crazy. But, how many machines do you guys have that's not in your arcade on route?
Not
in the arcade.
So as far as our arcade, we have 36 machines. You just counted. We have 36 machines in our arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another between 20 and 30 out on route. But
kind of depending on what you consider a machine. We got the 7 foot tall gumball machine.
Exactly.
Everything outside of the door of your arcade. So yeah, those seven.
Oh,
the
wow. One. Well, if you're considering bulk, I mean, we have 30 bulk machines out.
Okay.
You have the Walmart, you know, all those machines. We love the show on YouTube. So, I mean, goodness gracious, 100 plus if you're counting all of the bulk.
Okay.
But, you know, we really like to show on YouTube mainly our best performing machines to show people like the potential of this business.
Right.
And we do go back and forth. Like we'll show people like, you know, this candy machine, for instance, because we started in bulk machines. We started with, you know, we always use the triple shot machines.
Yep.
Which is gumballs in the middle.
Yep.
Usually Skittles and peanut M&Ms on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And so we use a lot of those machines, and with the price of candy going up at Sam's Club, anybody who's getting into this right now, I would suggest them to go to 50 cents.
Margins are getting tight. Mm.
Margins are getting really, hard. Really tight. And with a bulk vending machine, you can only do increments of 25 cents.
Yep.
So, you know, when we started, it was very liable to do 25 cents per vend because, you know, the candy price of candy was so low at Sam's Club. But
right.
Goodness gracious, all you guys out there who have Sam's Club, Costco, all that kind of thing, the price of candy has literally tripled since we started back in 2018. So anybody doing this now, I would tell them to do 50 cents per vend, right? And as far as like the increments of how much you vend per vend, we usually do half an ounce.
Yeah, that's the industry standard.
That's that really.
I would say that, right?
It really is an industry standard, and at 50 cents a vend, you're going to make your money back. You're going to at least double your money, because that's really what you want to do. Even with full-line machines, you want to at least double your money. You want to have 100% markup, or else, you know, why are you in the business? You know, I mean, anybody watching, I mean, why would you be doing this if you're not going to make money doing this?
Well, I mean, in most cases, I think that the canning machines are a stepping stone to bigger
things.
They're
a foot in the door.
A lot of the time, you're not going to grow a big canning machine route. I mean, they are still, they're pretty lucrative. I mean, they're easy to get into. You walk into a location, it takes 2 seconds to place a canning machine most of the time.
It really does. Yeah, exactly. It's a volume game. You know, I mean, if you really want to do all bulk, I mean, you're going to have a huge route.
Hundreds of locations.
Huge route. So
hundreds of locations.
Just be prepared.
At this point, we use them, like you just said, as a foot in the door. So, like, hey, I would love to place the canning machine in here. By the way, we also have claw machines. By the way, we also have these claw machines. We would love to offer you a percentage of these claw machines. They do very well. And we love to specialize in the mini claw machines from canningmachines.com in particular. No affiliate code there. Just
plug.
Canningmachines.com. Great machines. Very, very affordable.
He's giving one away tomorrow.
Exactly. Giving one away tomorrow. Exactly. But they are very, very affordable. And we can place those a square foot of space and literally make this business, you know, hundreds of dollars a month, sometimes thousands, depending on the type of location it's at. So we like to use the canning machines as a foot in the door and offer a secondary service.
Yeah.
Being those claw machines so that we can also offer them more. And, of course, everybody makes money, both us and the businesses as well.
Yeah. Well, and I talked to Cole Green a lot about it. He's grown all 23 of his locations from – most of them were honor boxes, then candy machines, then mini claws. So it's so lucrative.
Where's Don Barbato when you need him?
Right.
It's all in the suite over there.
He's over there somewhere.
He's at Elvis's bed or something.
Yeah.
But something we're considering is we have a Mexican restaurant. They already have candy machines. Something that's very lucrative is those Pokeball vending machines.
Oh.
You can get them as small as they're one-headers, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you guys have the bigger one, but those can be very lucrative. What are they, like 30 cents a piece, and then you vend them at a dollar?
That's correct. Usually between 32 to 33 cents a piece. And, I mean, again, this isn't a plug, but if you join the Extreme Vending Discord, you have several guys in there who are selling these Pokeballs for 32, 33 cents a piece. And we personally vend a lot of them out of our – it's a Pokeball vending machine.
The Little Mama?
It's called a Little Mama from PlayMachines.com, and we vend them outside of our arcade, a dollar a piece. I mean, if you guys have seen our videos on Quick Play, absolutely kills it. That is triple your money per Pokeball you sell, because you have a lot of these kids who just like, what's inside this Pokeball? And of course, it's Pokemon figurines. And they want to, you know, who doesn't want the Mewtwo? Who doesn't want the Mew? Who doesn't want the Charizard? So they will literally put in money until they get that Pokeball that has the Pokeball inside.
And it's collectible, so they'll always be coming back.
Exactly.
And you guys have a lot of those massive 7-foot tall gumballs. How many of those do you have?
We have three of those. Yeah. Two in the ice cream factories, and we have one right outside of our mall, right next to the Pokeball vending machine.
And we're considering doing that in one of our malls. Is that something that's good to get into? Is that profitable at 50 cents?
You know,
traffic. What does your traffic really look like?
It's good. It's 100 active stores in that mall. I mean, our claw machines do.
I say go for it.
Three machines do about over $2,000 a month. So
I say go for it.
Of course, because again, we live in a smaller town, especially compared to you guys. So a dollar per two gumballs, I mean, let's be honest here. Gumballs are 5-6 cents each.
Yeah.
When you're at 50 cents a gumball,
the margin.
That's times 10 your money.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and then you guys for the Nyx Rider, you have a dollar for two gumballs, and then do you do the two for five?
Yes.
Okay. So set them up.
That is the great thing about Nyx Readers is you can offer discounts like you do, you know, this many dollars and you'll get extra money, or sorry, you'll get extra vends mm-hmm. per how much money you spend. Sure. So of course that's an extra incentive for these people who are buying gumballs. And yeah, it's definitely made a huge difference in all of our gumball sales.
Okay.
And even the Pokeball sales.
Okay. Moving on a little bit. You talked about you get the majority of your machines from candy machines, right?
Yes, oh, we yeah. do. Yes,
is there anywhere else that you get those from?
You know, we have a couple machines from AZ Amusements.
Yep.
They are a great source of machines.
And a couple outliers, too, that, you know, we started with the Smart Industry, the Pirate Chess, so reliable. You know, if you can find something like that on Facebook Marketplace used, you're a little strapped for cash, you got a lower budget, you're just starting, those machines are tanks.
Very
the Pirate
tanks.
Chess?
The Pirate Chess are absolutely tanks.
I just passed on one for
$900. Oh my gosh, brother. So the thing I love with the Pirate Chess is they have the dual coin mechs, which you don't see a lot of in the 31-inch claw machines. And they are so easy to unjam, which is a huge thing.
Great mix. And
you guys watching, you will see so many jams in your claw machines with coins. And those Pirate Chests are so easy to unjam, and they have the dual coin mix. So, like, if one gets jammed, the other one's still working.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, I mean, we even have one in our arcade right now that we're working on replacing one of the coin mix because it's broken,
yeah.
But the other one's still working. So it doesn't put the claw machine out of commission
right.
because we still have the other coin mech working.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are and like Cody said, they're absolute tanks.
You guys have what, three or four of them, or
in the arcade?
Yeah.
Oh man, so we have a lot of those Pirate Chests in the arcade. I would say at least, I mean, off the top of my head, right here in this podcast, 7 or 8.
Oh,
of yeah. those Pirate Chests in the arcade, because
we have them on route. I mean,
we have them on route. We have one in the, if you guys have watched our channel, in the Mexican restaurants, they just do so well.
Oh yeah.
They really do well.
Wow. And are those all the older one with the boxes on the front, or do you have any of those newer ones?
No. So we love the ones that have – it's a built-in door, and they have the panel where you can push a button and control all of the settings.
Okay.
Because from dip the switches panel. Suck.
Guys, dip switches suck. You need the smart claws. They're called smart claws.
Right.
You need the ones with the panels that you can push a settings button, and it's all there on the panel.
Okay.
Oh, I want to make the strength settings this much. I want to make the win ratio this much. All there on a panel that you can read and easily adjust versus just having to, like, really just guess. Like, I hope this switch is that, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them have, like, freaking, I know my prize cube has like 16 switches
exactly,
on it.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's too much. It's too much going on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you guys talked a lot about how you get plush from everywhere. What is your favorite specific plush down to the make and model of that?
You know, so I would really like to say A&A Global. The problem is that depending on where you live, the shipping cost is just very high.
Yeah.
So, like, where we live, it's very close to their facility.
Yeah.
So the shipping cost is not that high. Okay. And we have a lot of people who live around that area, in the Missouri area, and it's not that high of a shipping cost. But we have a lot of people who complain about, because we promoted them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, the shipping can be really high compared to where you live, because that's just, I guess that's just what it is.
They're in Baltimore, right?
Yeah. They have a location in Baltimore. They have a location somewhere else. But the shipping costs can be really high. But, I mean, if you're around that area, like, I mean, I'm just speaking from our personal experience. Where we are, the shipping cost is very, very low.
Okay.
As is their product cost for the actual plush and all kinds of prizes. So in our experience, we would say A&A Global, but for, like, the majority of people, I mean, candymachines.com is great.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star Vending is great. If you join the Discord, you got Nick's Vending.
I mean, use S&B Toys there for a spill.
S&B Toys. Yeah. You have a lot of different options, especially if you join the Discord.
Okay. And what is your favorite plush? Like Mario? Or like down to that exact plushie?
Alien heads.
Alien heads are great because they're like 85 cents a piece, you know?
Oh, really good. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, you can do, you know, even at a dollar a vend, you profited. Yeah. Right, but I personally love SpongeBob. I love anything Nintendo. Things that are going to continue to be popular over the years.
Okay.
You know, things that are just, no matter what happens, pandemics, all of that kind of stuff, things that are going to continue to be popular no matter what kind of situation happens in a world pandemic.
Yeah. Okay. And when it comes to your route, like, I mean, obviously in an arcade, you're going to have this machine filled with Mario, this machine filled with mystery boxes. But when it comes to one machine in a Mexican restaurant, how exactly do you set that up? Do you do 50-50 generic and license, or do you 100% license plush, or how do you go about setting that up?
That is a phenomenal question. So a lot of times we do 25% license plush.
Okay.
Because a lot of the generic plush you get these days, they have, like, you know, how do I put this? They have, like, the flashy eyes, like, the eyes glow and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It almost looks like a premium plush toy. It's not. Of course, it's not Mario. It's not SpongeBob. But the plush itself looks premium, and that's really what matters. Like, as long as the plush looks premium, that's what matters. Like, you want a kid or an adult to walk in there and be like, oh, my gosh, I want that toy that has the eyes sparkling at me, right?
Yeah.
So... And with those sparkling eyes toys mixed in with, like, the 25%, you know, Mario, it sticks out.
Yeah.
You want stuff that sticks out, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And where do you recommend the generic plush from? We got ours from A&A, so at $1.40 a piece.
Exactly.
That's
A&A.
Where we like to go.
Exactly. I mean, that's really what I would say is.
Okay.
And sort of A&A, shop around, A&A. Too, because I'm. Things come and go like crazy.
All-Star Vending also has great deals, you know. Oh, gosh. And we just, you know, found out about Red Claw Vending.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
He has great deals on toys. You know, again, I'm not trying to be a plug here, but if you guys join the Discord, link below.
That one they're affiliated with.
Right. If you guys join the Discord, you will find so many different deals on just great plush toys. Guys who are... professionals in this business who know what to charge the vendor so that they can make money
exactly
selling the toys.
Yeah, exactly.
So join the Discord. You will find a lot of good deals.
Yeah, the Extreme Discord. We're up to 3,500 members. Yeah. It's the biggest Discord you can be inventing. So
it
go join that.
Is.
Don't
definitely
be shy.
Is.
Say hello and, you know, whatever
hit
kind
us
of
up.
Thing that you're working on and wondering about. Just hit
it,
us
it's
up.
Basically
yeah.
a free way to network and learn things.
It
so
really
definitely.
Is. Yeah, it really is.
It's where, I mean, that's how I grew. I would not have been in a mall
right
now without
right.
that. And I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't be there where they are today without that Discord.
Right, of course.
But when it comes to the locations, what do you look for when you first walk? Before you ask the owner, not a pitch, what do you look for before you go and give a pitch?
Foot traffic. So we want to see a lot of people going into that business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we like to specialize in restaurants, laundromats, you know, anywhere that's going to get a lot of traffic without, you know, having to have an employee base. Because when you're in full line, you know, snack and soda machines, you of course want a lot of employees.
Okay.
Like, that's one of the first things you look for. Anybody who's doing snack and soda machines, you want them to have a lot of employees, like the people who are going to be there all day, every day, trying to get a snack or soda from your machine to, like, you know, get themselves more energized and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but
their stomachs.
But when it comes to claw machines and stuff, you want a lot of foot traffic. That is the main thing we look for.
Yeah, because everyone has to realize, I mean, the claw machine business, it's a lot more lucrative than vending, but
yes.
it's not a necessity. It's
right.
not – vending's a necessity. If you have it in an office building,
exactly.
it's stable. And I've talked to a lot of people. I know someone in my state. He has 100 vending machines, and he told me, don't get into the claw machine business. He's like, it's not stable. You'd never be able to live off of it. You can make it stable. You can live off the highs and the lows.
Yes.
But it's – so, yeah, high foot traffic. Do you look for – do you sit down and see how, the difference between kids and adults?
Definitely you want to look at the demographics. So you definitely want a lot of kids going in there. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, kids are going to be your main source of income because
– a lot of cases. Absolutely.
It's all the kids who are like, you know, hey, mom, hey, dad, can I have a dollar to play this claw machine, please? I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
You definitely want a huge demographic of children. But if the foot traffic is there, it tends to be that you're going to have a lot of kids as well. Because if a lot of people are going to this business, a lot of times they're going to have their kids with them. Because I mean,
and let me add too, you know, if you're going boots on ground, you're going location to location, all these new restaurants, all these new businesses, keep a sharp eye on where there's outlets. This can be very, very
true. Did I make that clear? Very true.
And it can make or break if they don't have outlets in their lobby and they only have outlets in the very back. You want to make these people walk past your machines. You don't want to make them walk to the machine.
So exactly.
Having a machine at the very front by the register, by the entrance.
That is a huge thing. Where the machine,
you're going to notice a great big difference.
Where the machine is placed inside of said business. You want to be towards the front. They have to walk past your machine, not go find your machine.
Exactly.
Yes. That is a huge factor for anybody watching.
Yeah, and that one, what is it, the neon world or whatever that you guys have in that Mexican place?
Yeah, we
literally
love
open the door. You can see it through
the
door.
It's right there. Yeah, exactly.
That, I found that so cool.
Exactly.
The glowing
yeah.
front. They're like, don't they wait there to get their tables too?
They definitely do. Yeah, that is right there at the entry of the restaurant. That's a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
It's called El Espelon. We love that restaurant.
They're good.
They literally will wait right there. Like, they'll wait to have their a seat at the table. And, you know, a lot of times they have their kids with them. You know, and the kid's like, you know, hey, Mom, oh my gosh, I see SpongeBob. I see Mario. I need to play this. You
well, and you get a long line, and then the kid's waiting and waiting, getting so antsy. They're like, okay, have a dollar.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
But when you find that perfect location, what is your pitch?
Okay.
That's a great question. So a lot of times, Cody a lot of times goes in, and he has a tablet, usually, and, you know, he has an Android, you can use an iPhone, you know, whatever floats your boat. But you want to have a solid foundation of, like, what kind of machines you can offer. And a lot of times you want to be able to offer new machines.
Okay.
Because a lot of these places, I mean, I know a lot of you guys may be watching this have a lot of used machines.
And don't let that bring you down or anything, because you can still all day, every day land those machines. I mean
you walk into a Walmart and those machines are 40 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you really want to, like, if you're just starting out, you want to just seal the deal, you want to get it done quick, you want to have something that's brand new, so you can not only pitch to the location, like, hey, the first time people touch this machine is going to be when they're playing it in your business,
right?
But a lot of times it's the mini claw machines these days, which we did not start with, by the way. Like I said in the beginning, we did not start with mini claw machines.
And they're so convenient. I mean, the real estate
it's
that they take up.
It's a foot of space,
it's
man.
Like a candy machine. You know, it's unreal.
It's like a foot of space, like a candy machine, but you could make hundreds, sometimes, depending on the location, thousands of dollars a month. And yeah. I want to tell everybody here, whoa. You may not make $1,000 a month.
No,
if
yeah.
you make hundreds of dollars a month for...
That's still massive.
That's massive, especially when you have several locations making that.
Exactly. Yeah. And when it comes to the minis, have you had the OG minis without the prize lockers on it?
That's a great question. We have not used a single OG mini because the moment... I kid you not. The moment we saw that prize lockers were available on mini claw machines,
sold.
Which... We were sold because it has literally usually doubled or tripled our income, because they can play for those little Pokeballs. They can play for the little, you know, if you guys are in the Discord, Nick's Vending's cute little plush, whatever they might win. When they get that key, though.
That's what they're looking for.
And they can win that big prize. And that could be as something as small as, you know, $20, $30 in plush toys all the way up to, like, Nintendo, you know.
Switch Lite.
Switch Lite, exactly. So, prize lockers have made a huge difference for us. So, I would recommend anybody who gets into this business, claw machines in particular, start with mini claw machines because it's so much easier to sell the smaller square space, and then have a prize locker on top because people want to win that major prize. You can have eggs in there. That it's a mystery. I notice people love the mystery aspect.
They do.
They love to, like, what did I win? Oh, a keychain, whatever. Oh, a plush toy. Oh, I got the key. You know what I mean? They love the mystery aspect of winning. So that's what I would recommend to anybody starting.
Well, and even if you want to go the cheap route, those OG minis, I know Chris at Krabby Claw, he even sells the add-ons, the locker boxes for the OG minis. I know you could land them at your door for like $400.
That's
and then
really
I think
good.
You can buy those lockers from him for like at least 50 to 100-ish. I don't know. I haven't bought one from him. But
right.
Definitely the Super Minis and the Megas are the way to go.
So the only thing I have against the OG Minis, because I completely understand that, anybody who wants to go the cheaper route, the OG minis do have a much tinier play field.
Yeah.
So like the super minis from CanadianMachines.com, for instance, they go very deep. So you can load all these different kinds of toys in there. Whereas those OG minis, it's right there at the top. And it's, you know, it's very minimal what you can put on the field. So like, you know, if you have a key to the prize locker, it can only be so far down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, whereas those super minis, I mean...
And plus, they have the adjustable.
You guys took that one out, and it's still enough.
Oh yeah, exactly. It goes so far down that I mean, in a lot of cases, I mean, you know, ours at least, it's just not needed in most cases.
Yeah,
it just becomes a little
even
too
compared
much.
To those OG minis. I mean, when you take out that prize guard,
yeah,
it's still higher than the OG minis. You know, and again, nothing against the OG minis. Any of you guys run OG minis? More power to you.
And they're a great way to start that location.
They're a great way to start.
Figure out.
Exactly, yeah. No, they're a great way to start.
You know, you go from the honor boxes, candy machines, OG minis, super mini, big claw machine. I mean, obviously, you guys are very, very knowledgeable with claw machines. And is that the main reason you wanted to start your Claw Academy? Or is there a bigger picture to that?
Oh, no. Of course, it's really been the claw machines because they're so easy to place. Like, especially because they take up, like, a square foot of space. That really is what makes it so easy to sell to a business because businesses are so particular on like, you know, oh, I don't have room for that, you know, we can go in and be like, listen, I know you don't have a lot of room, but like what's a foot of space going to cost you to potentially make hundreds, if not $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
You know, so that's really what sold us on the whole claw machine thing is just because these days with the super minis, with the prize lockers, the potential for income there is so high.
And just too, also, you know, people that are just entering the industry, if you can avoid those growing pains that we had, the mistakes and things that we probably shouldn't have done, if we can help you kind of avoid that kind of thing.
We've made a lot of mistakes, okay? We just want you guys to skip it. That's all Claw Academy is.
Yeah.
We just want you guys to skip the mistakes.
Exactly. And give me a brief overview of what Claw Academy is. I don't know what it is completely, so.
That's a great question. So Claw Academy is the idea of being able to place your machines in the quickest time possible. But not only that, we have locators who work with us.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good bonus.
Who can land you locations, set you up meetings, so you don't have to go in and necessarily pitch your machines.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Guys, we get it. I mean, going in there and putting yourself in front of somebody like, hey, you know.
It's scary. Especially when you first start. It can be scary.
And rejection sucks.
So
It's hard.
Who doesn't want the option of being able to go in and be like, I already have the meeting set. They already said yes. Basically, you go in. It's like, what machine do you want? That's literally what it is. Like, we have locators that find the meetings for you. They have the interest in the locations. And we tell them, like, here's the machines we offer. You walk in. What machine do you want?
Yeah.
So we skip all the, you know, nitty-gritty stuff. We try to really skip the nitty-gritty stuff and just get straight to the business and get locations as quick as possible.
And, yeah, obviously that's the hardest point of a vending
for
business.
A lot of people, it really is. Oh, yeah. It really is. Because, I mean, trust me, we've been doing this since 2018 when we first started. We were nervous too, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, now we're a little, we'll call it less nervous.
Just got to learn to not care.
You got to learn to not
care. They say no.
Exactly. Yeah. But for the people who are just starting and they don't want to deal with it, we just kind of try to skip over all that stuff and get them the meetings and get in there and get their machines placed.
Okay. And with your business, was there a point where something clicked and everything became easier? Or is it just a grind the whole time?
I'll tell you this. We did the snack and soda machines for quite a while. You know, you got all these snack and sodas you got to carry in and all these expiration dates, all of this headache.
You know, and I don't want to stop other people because
full
line, that's their oasis.
Of course.
They love it and more power to them, but that just wasn't our bag, so to speak.
Santa. I just want to walk in with a bag of plush. It's so light. There's no expiration date. For all they know, if I'm being honest, this plush could be 3 years old, 4 years old.
Yeah.
They don't know the difference. If as long as it looks good and you put it in the machine, they're going to play for it. Whereas I can't put a 3-4 year old soda or snack in a full line machine. That is why we just preach like claw machines and amusement versus all the full line stuff.
And fun fact, I bought a Toy Soldier claw machine and it came with plush in it. I may or may not have received Beanie Babies from the 80s they're not in my claw machines, I promise.
You're right.
But, no, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, I did take but maybe four or five of those Beanie Babies because they looked great. They were from the 80s,
course,
and they still
right.
look great. You can't have a soda from the
80s. Exactly. You just can't. Exactly.
I'm a 90s baby, and the fact that you're calling 90s Beanie Babies from the 80s, it's pounding in my head. I just remember my mother shopping for them, and just like, oh, my God.
Oh, don't we all.
Oh, my gosh. But here's the big question that everyone wants to know.
Okay.
How did you land your arcade?
Interesting enough.
The process of getting that arcade.
So we used to actually have an arcade in our local mall. It was called... Aladdin's Castle? That was way back in the day. That was when we were kids.
High Voltage?
High Voltage.
Yeah.
And they only had three or four working operating machines in their arcade. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all should have seen his face. Only three or four operating machines in that arcade at a time. And so, of course, it didn't do very well. So that arcade shut down. And, I mean, me and Cody have always been looking for a location that we can, you know, not just somewhere where it's like, here's a machine here, here's a machine there. Like, somewhere where we can call our own.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, the moment we saw that arcade was like, oh, shutting down. We walked in and talked. We literally just walked in and asked the mall manager, like, hi, we already do this for a living,
yeah.
You know, and a huge thing that will play to your benefit is if you already have locations, because like we had several grocery stores, you know, several other spots like, hey, we already do this at this grocery store, this pizza restaurant. You've been there to eat? Oh, great. Yeah, I love that food too. Anyways, we have a claw machine there. We would love to be your personal arcade. I saw your arcade didn't do very well. Four or five machines working all the time. You won't have to worry about that with us.
Yeah.
We will have working machines. They will all do very well, and we will pay you every month, no problem. And, you know, we don't live in a huge town, you know, so it really wasn't that hard for us to sell it. Depending on where you live, it will be harder. You know, a lot of towns, they're going to want a percentage of your income.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of towns, they're going to want to see your books, like how much you guys making. We just don't have that. We pay a flat fee. We don't pay electric. We don't pay utilities, nothing. We pay a flat fee, and we have our unit, and it does at least in our opinion, very well.
Yeah.
And was that – did you land it on the first conversation you had with that lady, or was
first
it –
first conversation.
Wow.
First conversation.
That's awesome.
And also, too, these malls, especially, you know – the majority of them that aren't just great big and they got all these stores in them. If it's sort of a dead mall, I mean, if you just go in there like, hey, I want to look at a couple of suites, it's like shopping for a house.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like, I want to look at this suite. I want to look at that suite. And they want to desperately fill that suite and get somebody in there because they need to keep the lights on in that place.
Your malls want business. If there's no arcade, absolutely. They probably want one.
Yeah.
And if they don't have one, fulfill their need.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And we're going to be opening an arcade here in 2024. Is there one big piece of advice that you'd like to give me on...
Stay away from black carpet. Don't do black carpet. My God.
Isn't that what you guys have?
We do. And can you guys do coin pushers?
Token coin pushers with gift cards.
I would highly recommend coin pushers. If anybody watching has seen our videos, I mean, you know, if you've seen our videos, coin pushers are the bread and butter of our arcade, and even tokens. I mean, with tokens even, you can put prizes on the playfield. That will do very, very well for you. I mean, if not, you know, half or two-thirds of your income.
Have you guys ever played the double wide or that SpongeBob coin pusher at Dave & Buster's?
Yeah.
So we have that one now, and we found out that those cards, they don't, like, scan them or anything. We put gift cards in that, so every three SpongeBob cards, it'll vend out a gift card, completely automated gifts. We don't ever have to restock, maybe rearrange it every once in a while.
Sure, right.
But that'll be amazing, and no change machine for that either, because we're planning on doing probably three regular coin pushers and then a change machine for tokens.
Yeah,
they tap their card, they get tokens, then they play those. But then that double wide coin pusher, it's us as self.
What are those on you?
They're ahead of the curve on us on that. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that. That's incredible.
Or how you even run into
that's
those.
Incredible.
Is that like an auction?
No, yeah, you bought it used, didn't you? $3,000?
It was $3,750.
$3,750. And those are a lot new. Those are
16,000 new.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that was a no, it wasn't a private deal. That one was on Marketplace. He had it listed for $8,000. I said, "Will you take 40?"
You talk him down to
4,500, and then I got there. Error codes are my best friend when buying coins, buying machines. I was like, I know what this is. It's a coin jam. I'm like, would you take 750 off? I'll take it off your hands with the error code. Got home, cleared off the tokens. Works great.
Love it.
Got it.
Love it.
I hope that guy doesn't watch this video.
Right. Don't look.
No, but yeah, error codes are your best friend as long as you know how to fix things.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Sort of regarding arcade, is there any plans for expansion? Maybe is there like a big picture plan of like maybe even another arcade in the future?
You know,
big picture.
We definitely want to open an arcade, but not only that, we want to switch our arcade from coin op to card based.
Yes,
you know, where you put in the card and it just gives you the money. And now, one big reason for that is we have a lot of local businesses coming to our arcade and stealing our quarters, we'll call it. You know, like, we'll go to the changer and be like, wow, $400, $500, $600, incredible. But then you go to the machine, it's like, where's all that money? It's not there because those businesses just took it to go put it in their
in a lot of cash cases, registers too, and stuff. Those quarters can just get jammed in the mechs and the dollar bill acceptors, and they fail in with the card system, you're just not going to have those issues with it because it's just, you know, so seamless.
If you have someone who says, oh, I lost a dollar. All right, well, here's $10 on your card. Well, if it's a quick play card, where are you going to spend it?
That's right.
At quick play.
Exactly.
Yep.
And we thought that when we open our arcade, we might walk around the mall. Oh, here's a $5 gift card. Here's a $5. There's no money to that. We're not losing it. Well, I mean, kind of, but maybe they wouldn't have walked in, and then maybe in the future they'll come to the arcade
exactly.
Now. It's a great way to promote. And
it really is. It's promotion in itself.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And the final question to wrap up the podcast, because we have to get back to this glorious Elvis suite before we close. I think we got probably an hour left. But if you were to go back in time and tell yourself one thing, you can go as far back as you want. What would that be?
Invest in Bitcoin right now. It won't do you any wrong. Get in on it now.
Anything to do with the vending machine business, if I could talk to my previous self, you know, don't do full line.
Yeah,
don't do snack. Again, nothing against the guys who do, you know, snack and sodas.
Mm-hmm.
But just start, especially nowadays where they have those mini claw machines, a square foot of space. They're so easy to sell to businesses. The potential for income is so high.
Yeah, very true.
That's what I would do. I mean, I would not do full line. I wouldn't. I would do claw machines, the super minis in particular, a prize locker on top. You guys are going to kill it.
Oh, yeah.
That is the main thing I would say.
And we were talking about a little bit, get in younger,
yes,
pull the trigger. If you're debating it in your head, pull the freaking trigger. Just do it.
Yeah.
Please pull the trigger, please. You won't regret it. Yeah, I promise.
Yeah. That'll wrap up the show. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
You guys better buy some claw machines. You guys better buy some super mini claw machines. You guys better make money because we're doing it. If we can do it, anybody watching can do it. That's what I would say.
And, of course, you can follow these guys on Quick Play. I won't – maybe 100 subscribers from this to you guys. very little.
We appreciate it.
But Claw Academy, probably the best investment. How much is that, Claw Academy?
So it really is going to depend on how much you want, like depending on the locations. I mean
– services. And
it's all going to depend. I'll just say it's going to depend on how much you need done. Yeah.
Okay. So, with that, we'll wrap up the show here, and thank you all for watching.
Thanks for watching.
Bye, claw machines. Please. Please. Bye, guys.
Bye.